Pardon?
No. Well, what's going on with Rabbi Neuberger's here, either?
The first calls during this time, should I want to call back?
Looks very cold by you, Tzvi.
I'm getting all set for the big day. That's what's going to look like Thursday for the rest of us.
I hope not.
I'm afraid so. You know, what's the deal? Are we kicking this commercial into gear or what?
You're asking us?
I don't know. How is that? This is my first online commercial. Since they started redoing it. So how's it working?
First, the rabbi has to lock up.
Ah, okay. That explains a thing or two. How you doing, Bruce?
Oh, Hashem, yom, yom.
Good, glad to hear.
And you?
Ah, Baruch Hashem, holding up. It's been super, super, super busy at work this year. Working at insurance company in the middle of a pandemic and trying to keep up and roll out all sorts of new strategic things has been absolutely meshuga.
You work at home or you're traveling somewhere?
I've been working at home completely since March. I think, like most other companies, I have a feeling it's here to stay. Once you let the genie out of the bottle, I sense it's going to be hard to go back and have people do the daily grind commute again. But we'll see.
We're figuring that out still.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of empty office space in New York and most other cities going forward. It's just my hunch. Question is, what will they do with it? I think they'll just have to turn into residential space, but they'll cause a huge plummet in the cost of residential real estate or rentals, et cetera. We were already seeing that in New York, of course, now as well, I'm sure. And if you're following the New York real estate market, my daughter's moving there next month and she's paying less for her apartment than my in the Upper West Side than my other daughter in Harlem was paying last year. So
if anyone thought they were getting a share tonight, this is actually the Tzvi Plotzke real estate show.
I'm happy to hold court. New other questions? Shmuel, I see you're on. I want to give you a tremendous yeshikoah. Modi was phenomenal.
Ah, my pleasure. Thank you. No problem at all.
He was
glad you enjoyed.
Oh my gosh, he was just hilarious. I mean, Ida and I were bent over, doubled over with laughter.
We actually,
yeah, that seems to be the feedback. Yeah,
we actually,
and the show made some good money.
He was so thankful. We actually just hired him for Thursday. He's going to do a show for my office, actually, for our family.
Really? Oh, that's great. Yeah. Good. I'm glad. That's funny. Nice. Yeah, he'll do a great job. No question about it.
But now I know all your tricks because I was talking to him and he told me how I have to prepare. So now I know.
Yeah, exactly. The truth is, he gave me a whole spiel and then he did what he wanted to do anyway. So don't spend too much time preparing.
That's a good point.
I don't want to do anything.
I was actually schmoozing with Rav Neuberger because we had a shaila for him, but it was like the day after the event. And I was kibitzing with him a little bit about that whole back and forth with Rav Tani. And tell me, Shmuel, did he know Rav Tani was the assistant Rav?
He did not. No, not at all.
Right. Ida and I totally thought that was authentic. And we were it was the funniest.
Yeah. It was totally impromptu. And to the extent that I had to quickly say he's the assistant rabbi. I don't know if anybody heard that.
Exactly. No, we heard it. And that's why it made it that much funnier. And Rav Tani and Yaffa just played along with it. They were great.
Yeah.
But we were like, you would think he prepared the way Ed and Shmuel and some of the other ones prepared. But, I think Rav Tani and also, what's her name? Maddie Friedbauer was not prepared either, I assume, right?
Correct. No, very impromptu and very funny.
She was hysterical. It was just a machaya to see her laughing and enjoying it so much.
Yeah, no question about it. Good, Bruce, enjoy. That's going to be fun.
Yes, I'm looking forward. When I send out to the staff, what we're doing, I'm hearing great feedback already that people are really...
People know who he is?
Looking for. Yeah, people know who he is. Yeah. I know who he is. I don't know if I didn't really know who he was until really the Yaley for President stuff. Over the last few months. That's when everyone who might not have known who he was.
Right.
The truth is his older stuff, material that he's done in the past, year or two, is so funny. He's just funny, but his older stuff, and I encouraged him to say it. He's like, no, I'm just going to, impromptu new stuff.
That's interesting. He said some of the older stuff. So we had seen him last year, actually, almost exactly a year ago. I think last February, B'nai Yeshurun hired him for their Malava Malka. And that was the last live events in Teaneck. And he was just rip-roaringly funny. I mean, we walked out of there. We were like, oh my gosh, we got our money's worth from all the laughter that we had tonight. I mean, his comment about a sputtick being a strimal on crack. Is that like hilarious or what?
Yeah. Funny. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Herb, you want to give shear tonight?
No.
That was a quick answer.
I'm not even sure why I'm here.
We're drawing straws.
Is the rabbi's here?
Yeah, that's the question. Does Neuberger show up yet? Or?
Now he's here, yes.
Sweet. Oh, yeah.
Well, look at your screen, sweet.
No, I don't see it. Oh, Rav Neuberger is there. Fantastic.
Great to see you doing.
Baruch Hashem, Rav Neuberger. We were starting to take draw straws on who was going to give shiur tonight.
Who's up?
I think Herb was actually angling to go. We said... one that's attended the longest, so I think you would definitely get it, no question. But I don't know, we had a few other people that were kind of vying for the spot. Baruch Hashem, you showed up and saved the soul from Achlokas.
See, where's your background from? Are you expecting a nor'easter coming?
I know this is the nevuah of what's to come Thursday.
Okay, so I want to look at the unusual aspect of the Hidur mitzvah of Neros Hanukkah. As we're familiar with the din, that when it comes to Neros Hanukkah, the Shulchan Aruch says that the basic mitzvahs, you could have one candle in your house. And then the next level is you have one candle for every person in the house. And the next level is that you have every person in the house lights their own menorah. The Rambam has a different approach. Even though the Rambam was exactly the way that we do it, but the Rambam's approach was that when the Rambam writes, it doesn't matter how many people there are in the home and the house. Halacha is that we should have that one person lights, and then the next level is that one person lights for every person in the house, and the next level is that one person lights every menorah in the house. So our practice is that every individual lights their own menorah. But the Rambam, and the Rambam accepted that that was in fact the minhag, that was in fact the custom. But the Rambam says that the ideal would be that one person, the father, the head of the household, lights everybody's menorah. So he lights a candle for every person for every day. In fact, the Sfardim still do that to this day. In the Sfardim, true blue Sfardim, only one person lights the candles. You have many, many discussions about what to do if a young man is in the yeshiva. Does he light? Doesn't he light? So in the Sfardi response, in the Sfardi yeshiva, what are you talking about? Who's lighting? The father lights in the house. That's it. So the son's home. He's not home. It's nice if he is home. He's not home, fine. But the Rambam's ideal was one, the father does all the lighting. Only one person lights the menorah. Question is, why did the Rambam say that? The Rambam reads the Gemara, he can read the Gemara that way. The Gemara doesn't make this distinction. The Gemara says, Ner Ishu Beisoy, and then Mahadrin Madlikin Ner l'kol echad ve'echad, we light for every person. And then it says, next, madlikin, let's switch who lights. The Rambam says it's all the same person. The Rambam's way of looking at it is the way we look at a mezuzah. A mezuzah, one person puts out the mezuzah. There isn't, so you can have a fancier mezuzah, you can all contribute to the mezuzah. One person wants to buy the cloth. And one person wants to buy the box, and one person wants to buy the nails, fine. But one mezuzah, only one person puts it up. And when it comes, and that's the way the Rambam views menorah, only one person. Question is, why did he look at it in this way? Why didn't he accept in fact, he understands that the minhag developed that everybody's their own menorah. So why did he say, okay, that's the minhag, and he accepts that's what people do, but that's not the way he envisioned the mitzvah. Sam? He doesn't distinguish. He probably assumes, he doesn't spell that out. Played it safe. Michael. That's right. So Michael's raising a question that was that one of the riddles of the halacha of the menorah is that we have a general principle that we don't make a bracha on a heder mitzvah. We make a bracha on the mitzvah. A person takes a lulav and esrei, and he makes a bracha on it. Now, an hour later, somebody comes with a more beautiful lulav and esrei, and comes out pitum, and it has a beautiful gittel, and has lots of bumps. Nope. He doesn't make another bracha on it because he did the mitzvah already. We don't make a bracha on a person has a mezuzah on his wall. And somebody comes and says, a prettier mezuzah. So I fine. I take it down. I put it up right away. I don't make another bracha. We never make a bracha on making the, even though it's a halacha, we should always make a mitzvah prettier, mitzvah nicer. But we don't make a new bracha on the mitzvah. On a heather mitzvah. So here we have a strange thing. Every night that we light the menorah, the moment that the first menorah is lit, we're all making the mitzvah. Now, when every individual lights the menorah, every single night, more and more brachos is only heather mitzvah. So the Rambam, I'm not saying that that's the reason why the Rambam said it, but it certainly takes one of the mysteries out of the, according to the Rambam, only one person. Now, we'll see later on, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that the way it must be working, the only way Rabbi Akiva Eiger said I could justify making so many brachos is if what's happening, whether we articulate it or not, what's happening is that if I'm standing next to my father and he lights the menorah, I have in mind, I'm not being yotze with his lighting. I'm doing my own lighting. Because otherwise, I've been doing a heder mitzvah, and why should I make my own bracha? Which is also a very strange thing. How can I, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says it's the only way you can figure it out. It's a very strange, let's say we have five people in the house. It's not acceptable for a person to say, I'm not being yotze with your mezuzah. I'm going to put on my own mezuzah. I can't do that. Mezuzah there is there. So I can't decide that I don't want to be yotze. The mezuzah is up there. The mission accomplished. Mitzvah accomplished. The house has publicized the nes. Mission accomplished. So what can I say? I don't buy into it. I don't want it. It's not mine. It's done. So the Kivager says, in order to explain what we do, we have to assume that my thinking is that I'm not being yotze with the other guys, which is a little bit surprising. It's hard to really understand that in a deep way. The Rambam resolves that. But that may be one of the motivating factors. But there is a more fundamental concern that the Rambam has. And the one who explained this in greatest clarity was the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was Reb Chaim's son. It was Rabbi Soloveitchik's uncle. The Brisker Rav was a formidable power of Jewry within Eretz Yisrael. In Europe, the Brisker Rav was still a young man, and he already had a tremendous impact and was known as a great Lamdan. And in Europe, you already had that the top boys of every yeshiva would go to the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav learned in his house, but he just had a table, and he had 10 boys around or something, and they were there 6 months a year. They were there for a long period of time, but it was like a finishing school for Lamdanim. So you had a chabura from the Mir went. It was described to me usually for 6 months, maybe a year. And so he already had a tremendous name as being a lamed. When he got to Eretz Yisrael, he didn't become a political force, but he became a political force. And he didn't enter into politics. He stayed very far away from politics. He was very, very private that way. And he was always known to be sort of a severe person. He was known to be a person that was very exacting when it came to mitzvahs and its principle. He also was, you don't associate him with like joviality and simcha. Now, it could be, the theory is that the Brisker Rav, one of the tragedies of his life is that when he was running from the Germans, so he got word that the Nazis were going to come or the Polish were going to come into Brisk. and he ran away. I'm trying to remember what it was. I think he ran to Warsaw. But he thought it was safer for his wife either to stay in Brisk or maybe Vilna. He thought it was safer for his wife to stay in Vilna, and he ran to Warsaw. He thought he was taking the more dangerous, the greater risk. But unfortunately, a missile, a bomb hit the place that his wife and children were staying. So at the beginning of the war, he lost his wife and one of his children. He remarried in Eretz Yisrael. He married and had a large family. But that's one of the theories, and he never gained full composure after that. So he has two very, very well known discussions about Hanukkah, and this is one of them. So he points out a parallel. He says, look, you have this parallel when it comes to Hanukkah. You have that our practice, the practice of Ashkenazim, is everybody has their own menorah. Okay. The practice of that the Rambam advocates is that everybody has their own menorah, but only one person lights everything. Now he shifts gears to Bris Milah. Bris Milah, there is a halacha that a certain amount of the oil has to be removed. And a certain amount is required. It's called, if it's not taken off, it's called l'ikuva. It means it is a necessary part of the mitzvah. And if it's not removed, then one has to go back and do the bris over again. On the other hand, there's a certain amount of foreskin, which halacha does not require that it's removed, but it's called the heder mitzvah. It is strongly preferred that that part of the orla is removed. Okay? Now, the orla is referred to in Mishnah's tzitzin. Tzitzin are strands, just like our strands of tzitzis. So there are the tzitzin ha-me'akvin. There are the strands of the foreskin that if they are not removed, so then the bris is not a good bris. And there's the tzitzin she'enon me'akvin. They're the strands of the bris that if they are, that they're supposed to be removed. If they're not removed, all right, the bris is still a good bris. It's not a hudah bris, but it's not a bris limahadrin, but it's a kosher bris. Practically speaking, after every bris, so the moil, not every moil, but after many, many bris, after every bris, the moil goes to the back or goes to the room we have done since the bris room and goes and checks on the baby. Usually they keep the mother away at that point, before the mother comes in, usually. And what usually happens then is that the moil fixes up, he rebandages. If not enough foreskin was taken, he takes off a little bit more. That's usually what happens in the faster the moil, I shouldn't say that, but so that's often what moilim do. So they want to make sure that they have a bris that is a bris limahadrin. Okay. Now, so that's what the Rambam points that out. But the Rambam says that when the Rambam records this din, and look how differently the Rambam records it from the way that the Rama records it. The Rambam's record of the din is that when a moil does the bris, he should remove the foreskin that is required, and he should remove the foreskin that is a heder mitzvah. Should take everything off. However, if he's completed the bris and he hasn't removed all of the foreskin, even that which is a heder, then he leaves it alone. He doesn't go back. If he has left some of the foreskin that is necessary to be removed, he's got to remove it. He's got to fix it up. But if he has removed all the foreskin that's necessary, but he hasn't removed the foreskin that is lemahadrin, he doesn't go back and fix it up. Okay, that's the way the Rambam records it. Oh, so the Rambam leaves it without any further elaboration. When the Rama records this, when Shulchan Aruch records it, then records it like the Rambam. But then the Rama adds a comment, and the Rama says, if it's Sunday through Friday, go back and fix the bris. make it a Mevisla Mahadrin. If it doesn't, if it's Shabbos, then you can't go back. A loyal on Shabbos doesn't do any private time with the baby after the bris. Because what can you do? It's Shabbos. On Shabbos, we have a rule. The 8th day, even in Shabbos. Okay? So on the Shabbos, we do a bris, but you only do basic bris. You don't do, here's what the Ramah writes. The Ramah says that on Shabbos, if I am doing the bris, so I do a bris l'mahadrin. I take off the foreskin that is required and take off the tzitzin she'enon ma'atvin, the foreskin that is a muhudr part of it. Do everything. However, the Ramah says, what happens if it's Shabbos and I finish the bris? And then I look at the bris and I say, it's not a bris l'mahadrin. This is a good bris. It's a kosher bris. If I look at the bris, it's not a kosher bris. Of course, I have to continue cutting because it's Shabbos. Shabbos, the bris, it takes precedence over Shabbos. But if I did a valid bris, but I haven't done a bris, l'mahadrin, haven't taken off all the foreskin, so then the Ramah says, I have to come back and Motzei Shabbos. So the Ramah records this as a din specifically for Shabbos. And the Rambam records it as a din 24/7, right? The Ramah, the Gemara makes a distinction between the foreskin that is the halacha l'maisa. We always, I believe, we would always, if it's not a Shabbos, we would always recut to remove any tzitzin shenem akun, because we want the child when he grows up to have a normal looking bris. So we would always fix it up to make it like a one standard bris. However, there's an important difference in formulation. The Gemara makes a distinction between the foreskin that's ma'ake, that's necessary, and the foreskin that is not necessary but muhuda. Okay? A distinction. What's the value of this distinction? So the Rambam records it and says, if you've done a good bris, so then you shouldn't go back and do the bris l'mahadrin. Why bother the baby? Why upset the baby? It's because I have a bris l'mahadrin. He has a kosher bris. So instead of upsetting the baby and butchering the baby and opening the wound again, leave it alone. Then a good bris, a kosher bris. So you'll do a hidden mitzvah, different mitzvah. And the Ramah says, no. Always do a bris l'mahadrin. So if you have to go back, you go back. The distinction that the Gemara is making is on Shabbos. If you're doing the bris, so you continue doing the bris all the way to the bris l'mahadrin. But on Shabbos, that's the only time this din applies on either Ramah. If one completed the bris and you look at the bris and say, kosher, but not in the mahadrin, gotta come back with Motzei Shabbos. So the question is, we understand the Ramah very well. Ramah makes a lot of sense. Always do every mitzvah l'mahadrin. On Shabbos, mahadrin doesn't, is not doche Shabbos, bris is doche Shabbos. Why did the Rambam look at this Gemara and say, this is not a Shabbos din, this is a din about heder mitzvah in general? Michael? If he stopped cutting, once he stopped cutting, right? No. Piresh, he stopped cutting. Sam? Yeah. So Sam is raising the question of whether heder mitzvah only relates to an object of the mitzvah. right? That the Gemara says, his snail of funai and mitzvahs, right? Zeh kelev and veil. At the Shiras Hayom. So the Gemara says, his snail of funai and mitzvahs. I heard, I forget who told me this, but one of my colleagues told me a fantastic idea. It says, the Gemara says, his snail of funai and mitzvahs. Do the mitzvah lehi durai. Talis na, get a beautiful, more beautiful talis. Esrig na, bigger, nicer esrig. Mezuzah na. So why is it hisna means make yourself nicer in the mitzvah, right? Zek and Veyu, it should say, kinu mitzvahs muhudaris. Bris, tasa bris muhud, like Sam is saying. Hisna lefanai means make yourself nicer in the mitzvah. So he says that's what Chazal are pointing out to us. That a person makes themselves a more sincere person when he exerts himself to wanting to do a mitzvah. So hisnah means that I may be buying an extra, a nicer esrog, but the point is not a nicer esrog. The point is that I should be more excited about doing the mitzvah. Now, Sam raised the question is, do we ever have mahadrin that relates to the act rather than to the mitzvah? The answer is yes. There are a few places. The most famous one is when the Gemara says that an Erev Pesach, we refrain from eating an Erev Pesach. We don't have matzah from Erev Pesach. Many don't have a matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Some don't have matzah from Purim time. So the Gemara says, so the Rashi explains, why am I refraining from having matzah in advance of Pesach? So the answer is, I want to eat the Pesach, the matzah, Friday, the Leil Pesach, with excitement. I want to be looking forward to it. So the Rashi says, that is Zeh Kelev and Veyu, to do it with greater anticipation. So we do find, or for example, Zrizin Makdim and Lemitzvah, to do the mitzvah earlier and faster. So that's considered by many to be a Hider mitzvah. So we do have that Hider mitzvah could be in the act itself. All right, so now come, and in fact, that becomes essential to understanding how the Briskirov explained their two Rambams and their Ramah. He pointed out that you see from the situation with the Bris Milah, the Ramah said it's a din in Shabbos. The Rambam said it's nothing to do with Shabbos. It's every time you do a Hider mitzvah. While you're doing the mitzvah, it makes sense that you can do the Hider mitzvah. But once you've stopped doing the mitzvah, can you still do the mitzvah b'hidur? The Ramah said you can always do a mitzvah in a nicer way, even after you've done the mitzvah, you can do it nicer. In other words, I can have a talis, and the Ramah's opinion is, I put my talis in a nice talis bag, that is making the mitzvah to a nicer mitzvah. The Ramah would say that I light my menorah, so now I can light my menorah and not only say tonight's Hanukkah, but I can say tonight's the first, second, third night. Okay, that's good. So tonight we're going to have five menorahs in the window. It all makes everybody's menorah nicer. So the Ramah says, it's according to the Ramah, it is possible to make the mitzvah behidura even after you've completed the mitzvah. So that's what the Ramah says, that on any given day, if it's Monday, Sunday through Friday, if the Mayor looks at the bris and he says, no, not a bris lemahadrin. Kosher, but not lemahadrin. So why should he fix it up? He can still make the bris into a nicer bris. He finished the mitzvah. But he can still make it into a nicer bris. So, however, the Rambam is of the opinion that Hider mitzvah only makes sense while you're doing the mitzvah. While I'm doing the mitzvah, lulav and esrog, I have a pretty esrog. While I'm doing the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, I have the lulav and the esrog, I have the lulav and the three medium bound together. That's a more mehudadik mitzvah. while I'm doing the mitzvah shofar, so I'm doing all the sounds of the shofar. While I'm doing the bris milah, it makes sense. I can make a nice bris milah. But once I finish the mitzvah, Ram says, it's not a Shabbos then. It's that it doesn't make any sense to say I'm going to make my mitzvah nicer. The mitzvah's done already. So the Brisker Ram said, that's why the Rambam, when he looked at this Gemara, and he said, look at the minig was that the father lights a menorah, and every son lights a menorah, every member of the family, whatever the practice is, they all light a menorah. So the Heder mitzvah is that there are five people lighting a menorah over here. Heder mitzvah is that tonight we remind ourselves that tonight Kadosh Baruch Hu did five nights of Nisan. So the Rambam says, very nice, but once you've stopped lighting the menorah and the menorah is up, so your children are going to light, what are they doing? What are they accomplishing? Once I lit my menorah, once you've lit your menorah, the head of the house of this menorah, the mitzvah is done already. The mezuzah is up on the wall already. Before you put the mezuzah up, so somebody can come and have a nicer cloth and a nicer holder, and can get better glue and can say kapitul hillel. Before you put the mezuzah up, you can do it midura. Once it's up, it's up. So that's how the Brisker Rav explained. That's why the Rambam says that even though, again, he says the minhag has evolved that everybody lights, but that's not the way he understood what the Gemara had in mind. What the Gemara had in mind was that only the head of the household lights. He brings a proof. The Brisker Rav assumes that the Rambam understood this because when the Gemara that discusses the mitzvah and the Heder mitzvah and bris milah is in the context of discussing the lechem apanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash had a table, and there were 12 loaves of bread on the table, and those 12 loaves of bread were exchanged every Shabbos. And the ideal way to exchange it was that as you slid one loaf out, you slid the next one in, so that the table would never be vacant, that it would always have 12 loaves of bread. There wouldn't be a spot in the table. The breads would not be socially distanced. Right? You look onto a shul now and you see it doesn't look, somebody's telling me, they tell me I'm lucky. Because we have a shul that seats 250 people. And then we have maybe 80 on the Shabbos. That's full. He says he has a shul that seats 1,000 people. So he says that for him, it's like, it's just a little dots here and there. So they didn't want the shulchan should never look that it doesn't, it has an empty spot. It should always look like a horn of plenty. It's always overflowing. So when the kainim came, they did it with precision. That as they slid one out, they slid the other in. That was considered to be a heder mitzvah. The Gemara says that what happens if the guy on the right was faster, if my right hand was faster, if I slid it out, bang. Now look at the shulchan. I say, oh my gosh, I have this big bald spot in the middle of the shulchan. Do I put it back? No, you don't put it back. Because once you slid it out, once you've done that mitzvah of taking the old lechem out, it's done. You can't. I'm doing the mitzvah of reshelving. It's done. I can't do it. I can't walk it back. So the Rabbi Hanano spells this out, but the Skirov, as a point, he suggests that's why the Rambam understood that the issue over here of Heder Mitzvah, of the Menorah, and of the Bris Milah wasn't an understanding that it is only significant for me to do, to make a mitzvah, prettier mitzvah, if I'm doing the mitzvah, if I'm still in the middle of doing the mitzvah. But once I've done the mitzvah, it might be a nice thing to do, but it's not a considered to be Lehidura. Sam?
is that one person likes the whole thing, and in the process of doing that, he's being 100%. How can I do a Hidur Mitzvah by having somebody else do something else? In other words, let's say I blow a shofar.
Yeah.
So, and then a guy comes up with another, a nicer shofar. That's not my Hidur Mitzvah.
It's his Hidur Mitzvah. Right.
So if seven people are lighting in the house and everybody's making a bracha, how does that become a Hidur Mitzvah for the person that lit originally?
Right. So
that's why maybe that's why the Rambam says that he has to light a wall.
Right. In other words, it's coming back to what we call it the Kiv Yeager's question. So the way we do it, Sam is saying the way we do it, who is doing the Hidur Mitzvah over here? And once the father lights, so we say, Ner Isha Beis is the main thing. One candle. Okay. Now Mahadrin, light a candle for every person. Now Mahadrin and Mahadrin, light a candle for every single night. So who's the Mahadrin over here? The family's the Mahadrin. The house is the Mahadrin. It's ambiguous. The Rambam has it very clear. There's a mitzvah for the family to light, to be mefaris in the nais. All right? Now, there are many ways you can be mefaris in the nais. The more candles, the more people that are celebrating. The more days that are being celebrated. All right, that makes sense? But to say that five people are going to light their own menorah, and that's HaMahadrin. So who's the Mahadrin? So I guess what we assume when we think about it is that every individual, in other words, I'm a member of my household, right? My father's lighting for me, okay? That's one level. Now, I'm Yotze with his lighting. HaMahadrin is that he lights a candle for me. HaMahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. Is that I light my own and I light one for every day. It could be that that is the difficulty with that, which is a problem we assume, is that it's very rare that a mitzvah should be defined one way on the basic level and be defined substantially differently on the Mahadrin. It'd be as if to say the basic mitzvah is that every home should have a mezuzah. The Mahadrin is that every member of the household should post a mezuzah on the door. So it switches the entire mitzvah. Is the mitzvah to get together and to do a mitzvah for the house? Or is the mitzvah and then for every individual Jew over the age of bar mitzvah? So it's a strange thing, but we assume that the basic mitzvah is the home of the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of bias. Right, Lamashal, if you have a drop of 10 tzvachim, you have to put a fence, right? You have to put a mark. So would we say that would it be conceivable that every member of the household should make their own fence? Like, no, one has to make a fence. You have to be protected. Okay, so now it's a mitzvah that this home should be safe. That's not a mitzvah every individual to do a massive making it safe. So when it comes to the menorah, the way we practice the menorah, so we say basically it's a mitzvah that should be a candle in the home. And then Mahadrin actually changes, it changes the nature of the mitzvah. It becomes a mitzvah in every individual. That's very, I mean, it's possible, but it's a very surprising Hidur Mitzvah, where you actually, I think that would be unique, where the Hidur Mitzvah changes one of the major components of the Mitzvah. Sam?
Continue on that. If the component, if the idea behind the Mitzvah is that basically defines what the Hidur is. If you have a market, the market is that it's open to fall off.
Right.
So if you put one fence up, there's no Hidur to be involved. If you need a mezuzah on your thing, it's the same thing. But here, the whole thing of Hanukkah and lighting candles is by so many obviously, if you light one candle, it's one way. If you light eight candles, it's much more in the public eye, and it's and the same thing, that I guess it, then if everybody lights also, so then it's also, it expands the mitzvah itself as to what the mitzvah wants to accomplish.
Right, so and that makes a lot of sense according to Rambam, right? Because according to Rambam, I am my home becomes much more presence, and people are much more likely to notice that there's more fire, more light in my home. But it's difficult to say. We can say it. It's as if saying the basic mitzvah is that the entire community should read the Megillah. The mitzvah of Mubchor is everybody should take out their own Megillah read to themselves. Right? The basic mitzvah is to have a candle in the house. The mitzvah, the Mehudar, is everybody does their own individual. So that's what we have to say. So Sam is saying it that it, from the perspective of the result, you are mafar saying more of the nes, because there's more fire, more candles there. But according to Rambam fits beautifully. But according to Ramah, it means that there's more candles, but now we shifted it to who does the lighting. Michael? Yeah. No, the Rambam says, yeah. The example the Rambam gives, if you have 10 people in the house. So he says, basic mitzvah is one candle. Next level is to light 10 candles every single night. Heder mitzvah is to light 10 candles the first night, 20 the second. And he says, in the last night, you're going to have 80 candles. The father lights, bang, 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 80 candles. If he has a household of 10. So, but that's the Rambam views it. They end up going from candle to candle to candle.
Why, can I have a question? Why wouldn't Mehudar Mitzvah be teetering on Baal Tosef?
So that's a very good question. Why wouldn't it be Baal Tosef? So the only answer to that would be that since that's the way that Chazal defined the mitzvah to begin with, it would be a problem of Baal Tosef if it would not have been part of the original establishment of the mitzvah. Probably there would be a problem. Now, the Rambam, but since when Chazal made the mitzvah, they already gave these different tiers. Yeah, that's probably why it isn't Baal Tosef, because it's part of the original establishment of the mitzvah.
Even in Brit Mila, wouldn't that be a problem too?
No, because by Brit Mila, it's not the mitzvah is defined as cutting away the orla. So if we cut away more, in other words, if I completed the mitzvah to go back and cut some more, it's possible the Rambam would say that. It's possible that the Rambam would be against. The Rambam is against doing it. I don't know if he defines it as Baal Tosef. But it's a situation where very often the Heder mitzvah is defined by the halacha. So in this particular case, the Heder mitzvah is defined that this is called the Bris Lamahadran. So that's why it probably would not be Baal Tosef, because I'm following the guidelines of the Heder. Michael? Yeah. 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 Right. So Michael's question about how does it fit into Tkiyas Shofar? So Tkiyas Shofar is that Chazal established that we should blow the shofar wrapped around the davening. So the way that we blow shofar is there are two ways to blow shofar. One is to do it the way Kadosh Baruch Hu said, just blow the shofar, and then Chazal said, no, make it part of your davening. Well, there is. It's probably an issur d'rabbanan just to blow without any purpose. If you're blowing for the, there is an issur mashmiya kol. We can't use a trumpet on Shabbos. Not a malacha. Yes, so there the Rishonim say it's not a malacha. It doesn't fit one of the thinner malachas, but still an issur d'rabbanan of creating a sound. So the Rambam's approach, the Rambam's approach says that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is like every other Heder mitzvah, like the Heder mitzvah of Bris Milah. And that's what raises another question. And that is that we know there's a rule that every Heder mitzvah, you only spend up to a third, not more than a third, right? Have an esrog. So your basic price establishes your baseline, then you add a third. When it comes to the Heder of Hanukkah, so there we're doing much more than a third. Once you light your second candle, you've already doubled. Once another person in the house, you've already doubled. That's right? So why is this Heder mitzvah? So the Rebbeinu Hananel says this Heder mitzvah is like every other Heder mitzvah, and you only have to spend a third. So what it means is that according to Rebbeinu Hananel, according to Rambam, that once you figure out how much you're spending on your lighting, and then if you add in more lighters, then you cut back on the quality of the oil, you cut back on the quality of the wicks. But you always stay within the same financial range. And the other Rishonim say one of two things. Either they say this is a different kind of Heder mitzvah. This is the most common approach in the Svarim. The most common approach comes up in many Svarim. Comes up in the Gera Svarim. That the reason why when it comes to Menorah we do it many levels of Mahadran, and we spend more than a third, and we maybe even change the nature of the mitzvah. Why? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu did a nes for us that was only the Mahadran. He did not have to provide us the oil. We could have lit oil that was Tomei. Because halacha is that if you only have Tomei oil, you can use Tomei oil. So the nes was done so that we could do the menorah l'mahadran. So therefore, Chazal said this is going to be different. So we generally assume that menorah is a different kind of mitzvah, different kind of mahadran. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's a mahadran like any other. Now there is another opinion of Rebbeinu Hananel which could be applied to the Rambam, and that is that when the halacha says that we only spend a third extra on Heder mitzvah, so that was from your regular income. But if a person had a windfall, then they could use that money to spend more than a third. In other words, a person had sweepstakes, right? If a person found a mitzvah someplace, so then something he didn't work for. Maybe a Yerusha, maybe. Maybe he invested all of a sudden that company sky high or something. So if it's part of my regular work, so then I shouldn't spend more than a third on the mitzvah. But, and then, according to this opinion, according to Rambam, I should not change my neighbor's Hanukkah significantly. if I have money that came from a windfall, then I do this Hidur mitzvah. But again, the basic idea here is the Hidur mitzvah of Hanukkah like every other Hidur mitzvah? The Rambam says, yeah. And it's governed in the same way. And that's what the Rambam says, that it has to be that the mitzvah, that this Hidur mitzvah, like every other mitzvah, you can only do the Hidur mitzvah while you're doing the mitzvah. Afterward, you can't do it anymore. And that, we mentioned a few minutes ago, Rabbi Kivager raised the question, how could we make a brach on the Hidur mitzvah when it's not the essential mitzvah itself? So one approach of Rabbi Kivager is that in fact, we have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah with the initial mitzvahs, with the initial mitzvah. But he suggests, he says it could be for another reason. It could be there is one position that says that we do make brachas and hidur mitzvah. And he says that it could be that that any mitzvah, which is a mitzvah that takes time. It's a mitzvah shel shihui. It's a mitzvah that endures. It goes on for some period of time. So you can still make the bracha while the mitzvah is going on. For example, the best example is Tilas Yadayim. We don't make a bracha before we wash, make a bracha while we're washing, while we're still drying our hands. It's a mitzvah shel shihui. A person forgot to make the bracha and had the tenaris, he can still make the bracha while he's lighting. So the Rabbi Kivager says that might be the reason, because I'm still participating in the Hidur mitzvah of the family. So therefore, I can still make a bracha. I'm still participating in the lighting of the head of the household. I will close with an idea that we discussed a few years ago, that one of the issues that I always found difficult in Hadlakas and Neros is the concept that we light Neros for every person in the household. In other words, whether you say, for the Rambam, it's the easiest to formulate this anomaly. According to Rambam, the head of the household lights one candle. A Mahadrin, the head of the household lights a candle for every person in the household. So that was struck me as strange. To light a candle, I get it. To light a candle for increasing in numbers, for increasing days, I understand, because then the nace becomes more prominent as the days go on. So we want to note there's a nace for 8 days, and we became more impressive as the days. So I get that. But to light a candle for every person in the house, or the way the Rambam has it, that the head of the household would light a menorah for every person in the house. So why is it at all important to note how many people are in the house? Guy goes down the street and he sees somebody is being mafaris in the nace, got it. Somebody in the street and he sees 1, 2, 3, 4, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, knows 8 days of Hanukkah, got it. Person who walks out in the street and says, there must be 10 guys in the house tonight. So what? What did they do for you? This guy has, I said in Shir, we're not being mafaris saying the numbers of people in the household. It's nothing to do with, it's got to do with Hanukkah. So why is it all significant to mark the numbers of the people in the house? Why is that part of the person in this altogether? So I always had a problem with that until just a few years ago. So one of the, somebody publicized a moment in Bergen-Belsen by the Blue Shiva Rebbe. It became a well-known moment after that. The Blue Shiva Rebbe was at Bergen-Belsen and he was able to pull off a thread from one of the clothes, and he's able to hold on to a little dish of butter or of lard or something. And then came Hanukkah, and he, by the with Mesiras Nefesh, with great risk, he got the Jews together and they lit the menorah, and they lit his little wick and this little piece of butter. So while he was lighting the menorah, so he said the bracha, and then he said shasad nisim, and then he said shechiyano. So one of the chassidim, one of the inmates, came to the rabbi. He said, during or after, I'm not sure. And he said, rabbi, that you had to make a bracha again. You had to make a bracha again, a mitzvah. That you had to say shasad nisim again. It's part of the mitzvah. But how could you say shechiyanu v'kimanu v'kiyanu l'zman hazeh? How could you say that? So the Rebbe said, I had the same hesitation about to say, maybe we shouldn't say shechiyanu this year. I said, then I looked around and saw who was here. And I saw all these Jews that have witnessed the worst of all time. And they've witnessed the such great tragedy. And there's such great loss. And they're still here. And they're still lighting a menorah. So I said to Shechiyanu that I was able to see such Jews. So I was thinking that might be, that's what Chazal are pointing out. That there's a pirsuman ness on what a Kadosh Baruch Hu did for us. But there's also a pirsuman ness that in Tov Shin Pei Aleph, there are still Jews who are giving Hakoras Hatov. Who are expressing their gratitude for a nest. There is a person in nest, and every Jew who after all these years has such strong and abiding emuna, that's also a person in nest. So that's the extra persumi nisa that is in the second level of the Hida. Okay, we shall have a freilich and a lift of Hanukkah and Tzvi's nevuah of this terrible northeaster should be postponed. You can, sir. All right.
Ah, thank you.
Amen. He should be your mom and barach, the alum of the male. Amen. 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 Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Got the code with the share screen. I have to train myself, just breathe it out.